Chapter 24. Zara. I feel calm as we exit the Protector's audience chamber, which is odd, considering our new place participating in the looming siege. At least he agreed to help us with the R'lar when this is over, I think, as we step out into the hall. There's still the king to deal with, but that's a problem for another day. Our footfalls echo softly on the dark stone floor, and dancing torchlight greets us as we make our way through the labyrinth of corridors. Once we are out of earshot, Owen and Talon pull me to the side, huddling near a tapestry depicting the silver bird of the nightingales.
"What have you done?" Owen asks,
his usual melancholy now bordering on despair.
"You've pledged us to fight for the rebels in front of Xanderthel himself."
Talon, for once, remains quiet, his expression troubled as he looks from Owen to me. I draw myself up to my full height, looking Owen right in the eye. Even so, I have to crane my neck in order to meet his gaze.
"I only did what was right," I say, pitching my voice low.
"The king is clearly in the wrong here, and we still need the nightingales if we hope to defeat the R'lar. The real enemy. It was the only decision we could have made."
"What about the decision to leave? To sit this one out while both sides butcher each other?"
I cross my arms and fix him with a stern look. "That wouldn't solve anything. Besides, you know that they would never let us leave the city. We would have ended up right back in that prison cell, unable to do anything meaningful."
"And fighting with rebels is meaningful?"
His face looks almost pleading, his mouth a tight grimace, as his brow wrinkles with concern. "Light," I think, staring into those stormy green orbs. He looks like he's on the verge of tears. "Owen," I reply gently, choosing my words carefully, "don't you see? Rebels, treason, kings? These are all just words. Meaningless words if we can't unite our people. If the Ark falls, the R'lar will cast us all aside like insects, and all will be lost. The only way to ensure that doesn't happen is to convert the nightingales to our side."
"What side?"
He raises his voice to practically a shout.
"We're not on anybody's side, Zara. We're caught in the middle of a war that's been going on since before we were born."
Talon shrinks back at the outburst, but I hold my ground.
"Then by the light, Owen, we'll make our own side, the side of truth. We'll unite ourselves with whomever is willing to defend the weak, and we'll stand against the R'lar because it's the right thing to do."
He makes as if to offer a retort, then deflates, his shoulders sagging. He sighs and breaks eye contact, looking down at his boots in chagrin.
"It just doesn't feel right, Zara."
A moment of silence passes between us as I search for the right words to say. Talon abruptly clears his throat, prompting the two of us to look over at him.
"We're certainly in a bind, aren't we?"
He smiles in his typical obnoxious way, but something in his tone makes it sound like he's deeply disconcerted. Grin faltering, he glances at Owen.
"I agree with Zara, mate. The king is in the wrong here, not the nightingales. If war is coming, then we may as well fight with them."
"But what about the rangers, Talon? And the conclave?"
10,000 soldiers are only a fraction of Tarsinium's army," I reply, absently reaching for my talisman. "This makes me think that King Aethelgar's acting on his own, without the support or knowledge of his governors and generals. Why else would he muster so few?"
"Perhaps he wants to move quickly," Owen mutters,
bitterness creeping into his voice.
"He wants to act before the nightingales can bolster their defenses."
"Perhaps," I concede. "Though I doubt the Conclave is involved in this coup, or the Rangers, for that matter."
He frowns.
How can you be sure?
High Magus Holden understands the importance of an alliance with the Nightingales, I say, letting go of the source crystal around my neck and clasping my hands in front of me. The Circle would not waste valuable time and resources fighting a war amongst ourselves while the Ark crumbles down around us. As for the Rangers, their eyes have always been trained outward, not toward the squabbling within. Talon nods in agreement, but Owen still looks unconvinced. I take a hesitant step toward him, reaching out and squeezing his arm. Our gaze meets, and we stare at one another for a long moment, each lost in the other's eyes, both filled with concern and unease. I wish I could help him understand. Light, this must be awful for him. Talon clears his throat again awkwardly, and I shake my head to clear it, my cheeks reddening. This is the way it has to be, Owen, I say, matching his stare with as much empathy as possible. But I know we're doing the right thing. His expression softens, and he forces a half smile. All right, he whispers, so quietly that I can barely hear him.
If this is what you believe, then I will trust you.
I grin, barely managing to keep myself from throwing my arms around him in a hug.
We've made it this far, right? Talon says with an uneasy chuckle. Who's to say we can't survive another mad quest?
A shadow looms from the hallway nearby, and I twist to see Elias standing next to us, his face as stoic as ever. 11 hells, I think, jumping in surprise. The man's as quiet as a ghost.
That was quick thinking in there,
the tall ranger offers gruffly, resting a hand on his belt knife.
Xander was this close to having you three tossed back into the dungeon.
He makes a pinching gesture with his fingers, indicating a very small amount.
You think we made the right choice?
Talon asks, leaning back against the wall.
Undoubtedly, he replies. King Æthelgar has betrayed his honor in attacking us under the guise of peace. This is a political move, plain and simple. A plot to consolidate his own power and alienate his rivals in the court of Tarsus.
It's going to be a difficult fight, I remark soberly. Even with this mountain, the siege could last for months. Do you think we even have that long?
Probably not, Elias says with a shake of his head. But for now, our choices are limited. Perhaps when demons begin pouring through the Ark, the king will be more likely to turn back and defend his own lands.
A pall settles back over our group, a feeling of dread which reminds us just how bleak our current situation is.
Still,
the grizzled warrior says after a moment, a glint in his iron-colored eyes.
Hope is a candle. Its light may seem faint, but in darkness it can fill a room.
He looks directly at Owen, something unspoken passing between them. Then he says,
Never forget that there is always hope.
With that, he turns to leave, striding silently away like a hunter gliding through the woods. Within seconds, we're completely alone in the long hallway of the Forbidding Castle, with only the orange torches to keep us company. We shouldn't tarry, I say at last, taking a step away from the two of them and gesturing for them to follow. There is much to be done, and very little time.
What do you suggest we do?
Talon asks, moving after me. Owen remains quiet, his brow deeply furrowed. Anything we can to help, I reply simply, leading them through the maze of hallways toward the exit of the citadel. We pass soldiers and attendants, all of whom watch us with uncertainty. They have no doubt heard the Protector's declaration that we are to be considered allies, but none of them seem to know exactly how to react to our presence. I take it all in stride, walking past them with my head held high and my expression resolute. These people will come to see us as friends, I resolve, nodding to them as the two ranger apprentices march silently behind me. The light is my witness. We will forge a coalition and stand together against the R'hllar. We continue to draw stares as we step through the portcullis and into the city proper, where a fearful crowd gathers in the street while soldiers announce the grim news. Sturgis, surrounded by a handful of his cronies, stands off to the side, conferring quietly with one another, eyes examining the castle's fortifications. I make right for them, approaching the surly warrior with a confident gait. Their hands go to their weapons as we draw near, but none of them makes any moves as I close the gap between us. Keeping my expression neutral, I look up and meet his gaze.
"What do you want?"
he snaps, eyes hardening. His gloved hand grips the hilt of his still-sheathed sword.
"We want to contribute," I say, not showing any unease. "What can we do to help?"
"Help?" he asks, incredulous. "Haven't you done enough to help already?"
I arch one of my eyebrows. "Surely there is something that we can do. Shoring up the defenses? Training recruits?" He frowns, but does not immediately reply. The soldiers surrounding him eye each other uncertainly. I continue, unabashed.
"Whether you like it or not, we are allies now, and this city needs to prepare itself for what's to come. So you can brush us aside and do everything yourselves, or you can allow us to help you do what needs to be done. It's your choice, Captain."
He eyes me for a moment longer before finally nodding, although he doesn't look very happy with the decision.
"Fine," he says, releasing his grip on his sword. "We were about to head out to start the evacuations. You may accompany us, but outside those walls, you're under my command, understand?"
Nodding, I give him a gracious smile. "Of course." He grunts, then gestures to a nearby stable.
"Let's be off, then."
With the sound of clinking chainmail armor, they march toward the penned-up horses. I look to Talon, who shrugs, while Owen lets out a relieved sigh, but neither of them offers any words of complaint. We head off, busying ourselves with assisting Dunmar City to prepare itself for the coming siege.